You know what? I am talking about a sermon series called The God of Possibilities. Now, why are we talking about it? Because life is not always fair. The dreaded words my parents used to say when I was growing up. My siblings would get something that I would like, but I was 2 years younger, so obviously I had to wait for my turn. But I said, it's not fair. Then they would say, well, life is not always fair. I hated it. But reality is, life is not always fair. Bad things happen to good people. Things that we never planned for, we never anticipated, we never want them to happen, but yet here we are, once in a while, something comes up that we did not expect, we don't want to see, but life happens. But here's the good news. In all our struggles, in all the circumstances, maybe even the ones that are difficult and we don't understand, we know that God is with us. We know that God is a God of possibilities, and what seems impossible to us becomes possible to Him. Amen. What seems to be impossible in our life becomes God's opportunity to show up who He really is in our life. Amen. That He can show Himself to be the Almighty God, and we can take something from that, if not only peace of mind. Amen. So I want to remind you that God is a God of possibilities. And what seems to be difficult right now, what seems to be so overwhelming right now, so stress-inducing right now, with God, all things are possible. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to talk about that God, with God, progress is possible. With God, progress is possible. Now, this actually came when I was driving with Joanna, and I was thinking about it quite some time. It has been brewing in my heart for quite some time. And so all of a sudden I turned to Joanna after our workout. We were driving home and I said, you know what? I really believe that God put something in my heart. And before that, it was something like a feeling, something that came that was like brewing in my spirit. But all of a sudden, I was able to put vocabulary with what I was feeling in my heart. And that was where God was basically saying, this is the big idea, your progress is fueled by your convictions, but it is steered by your confession. Your progress is fueled or is driven by your convictions. But your progress is steered by your confession. Now, just so that we are all on the same page, let's just look what the definitions of the three big words that we just heard are. There's progress, there's conviction, and there's confession, right? So the first definition of progress is, it is a movement towards a destination. So progress is if there is a movement towards a destination, something that you want to reach. Maybe you have a goal. Progress means you are going in the right direction. You're coming closer and closer to the destination that you want to reach, that you want to have in your life. That is progress. Now, if there's no movement, that means there's no progress. If there's no change, there is no progress. But if we want to reach a destination, there has to be movement. And once we are moving in that direction, there is progress. So progress is a movement towards a destination. Conviction. Conviction is a firmly held belief or opinion. A firmly held belief or opinion. My firmly held belief is that God so loves the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that He would die for me so that I can receive eternal life, so that I do not have to be perished, but I can have everlasting life. That is my firmly held conviction. That is what I have in my heart. No matter how hard my old school friends from Germany trying to talk me out of it and trying to argue with me, I believe that with all of my heart. I have seen God move in my life. I have seen God heal people. I have seen God transform people's lives. So I know it is my firm opinion. It is my firmly held belief that God is real. Amen. That is my conviction. And then we have confession. Confession is how you voice out your conviction. In a formal sense, it says it's a statement of a person describing or voicing out his or her beliefs. So in other words, our conviction, our firmly held beliefs, if we voice them out, if we speak what we really believe, that is our confession. So progress is moving towards a destination, movement towards that goal that you have. Conviction is a firmly held belief that we have in our hearts and in our minds, and we know for a fact that that is the truth. And confession is we are voicing out our conviction that we have in our heart. All clear? So now again, the big idea is your progress is fueled by your conviction, but it is steered by your confession. What we confess will determine the direction that we go in life. And let me put this idea right before you. I believe there's only two things. Either way, we are going closer to God or we're going further away from God. I don't think there is much of a middle ground. Either way, things propel us towards God or things propel us away from God. And we have to make a decision. God, I want my life to go in the right direction. I want my life to go closer and closer to your purpose, that I can fulfill the destiny that you have for my life. So I want to see progress. What progress? That I will come closer and closer to God. And that conviction that I have that God is real, that I want to dedicate my life for His purpose, that is my conviction. If I start to voice it out, my life will go in the direction of coming closer and closer to God. But if we don't make it a point, I believe things will draw our attention away from God. Have you ever heard a couple say, you know what, we want a divorce? Why? Because we have grown apart. Ever heard that one? We have grown apart. Why? Because the relationship, the marriage was no longer a priority. So other things in life, maybe not even bad things, maybe the children, maybe career, maybe hobbies, have drawn them further and further away from each other to the point that they say, I don't even know the person anymore. We are just living in a business relationship of raising the kids. So if we don't make it a point that relationships are important, very often other things can draw us away from that relationship. The same thing goes with God. If we don't make it a point that we want to come closer and closer to God, most likely other things will capture our attention to the point that we are being drawn away from God. So we have to make it a point and say, God, what I do in my life, let it propel me closer to you. Let it draw me closer to the purpose and the destiny that you have for my life. Now we're going to look at a portion of scripture in Numbers 13 and 14, where the people of Israel are now across the Jordan on the other side of the promised land. Now, I'm sure most of us know this story, right? The Israelites were slaves in Egypt. Then finally, God heard their cries, sent Moses back to Egypt to bring the people out. Pharaoh says, cannot. Then God shows up in his power, 12 plagues. Finally, Pharaoh says, okay, just go. You can take the people, just go, just leave. And then it says that they found favor with the Egyptians and they gave him gold and silver as they were leaving. In Psalm 105, I believe Pastor mentioned it last week, in Psalm 105 it says that none of them were sick or feeble. So they left Egypt wealthy and healthy. Yes. Something that we would like, right? Being healthy and being wealthy. And now they're walking through the wilderness and they're reaching the place that God had promised them, just on the other side of the Jordan River. And God says, what you see now, that is your promised land. That is the land that I have promised you. It is a good land flowing with milk and honey. God called it good. And God asked them to send some people in to spy out the land. So they sent 12 spies in.
They come out, they come back. Two of them have a report saying, yes, it is a good land. The people are strong, but with God, we can take them. Yeah. 10 of them said, the land is good, but there are giants in the land. The cities are strong. They have walled cities. There is no way that we can take the land. The people of Israel now have to make a decision. They are confronted with two opposing views, two opposing ideas. Now, keep in mind that all 12 spies saw the same thing. They saw the same land. They saw the same enemy. They saw the same cities. They saw the same strength and even giants in the land. But two of them came to a very different conclusion than the other 10. And now the people of Israel had to make a decision. What are we going to do? Are we going to go into the promised land, progress, going into, moving towards a destination? Are we moving into the promised land? We have to fight for it, but let's go into the promised land. Or let's get a new leader, put away with Moses, and go back to Egypt. It's all right there, Numbers 13, 14. Or do we go back to Egypt? Now, either way, no matter what decision they would make, their life would change. Come on. Either way, go into the promised land or go back to Egypt. No matter what they would decide, there would be progress. Either way, closer to the purpose of God, the promises of God, or further away from the promise of God, from His purpose, from His destiny for them. But no matter what they would decide, there would be progress. And I believe, like I said earlier, our life, there will be progress. The only decision, the only thing is, in which direction is our life progressing? Is it going closer to God or is it going away from God? And I hope and I pray that you will make a decision in your heart this morning to say, God, I want to get closer and closer to you. I want to get closer and closer to what God has for me. Amen. So that now they're standing in front of the promised land and they have to make a decision. The 10 spies, it is their conviction. It is their firmly held belief that they cannot take the land. That is their conviction. And that's why their confession is, let's go back to Egypt. There's no way that we can take the enemy, so let's go back to Egypt. Their conviction determined what their confession was. And that's why they wanted to go back to Egypt. Whereas the other two, Joshua and Caleb, said their conviction was, with God, we can do it. So what was their confession? They said, let's go into the land. God has given us this land. So their conviction determined their confession. And the confession would give the direction of what and how their life would play out. And I believe that is a principle that we can apply in our life. What are the convictions in our life? What is driving us? What is pushing us forward in life? And that will determine what we will confess. And what we will confess will determine what direction in life we will go. Amen? So how, what can we do now to make sure that our life progresses closer and closer to God? The first thing is that we have to keep it simple. Keep it simple. Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2 says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. That's it. That is the instruction that God gave Moses. Moses, send some people into the land that I am giving you. That's it. Now look at Numbers 13, verses 18 to 20. This is what Moses tells the spies. Moses says, see what the land is like. Exactly what God told him, right? Send some people into the land to check it out, how the land is. So up to there, it's exactly what God said. See what the land is like. But then he goes on. And whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many? What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or is it poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. God said, take some men, send them into the land to see what I am giving you. What did Moses tell the spies? Go and see the land, but make sure that you check out how strong they are. Are they strong or are they weak? Are there strong big people or weak small people? Are the cities big or small? Are the cities fortified or are they weak? Can we do it or can we not? He gave so much other details because he wanted to have more information. I understand that. But the thing is, he overcomplicated something that God said should be very simple. And that, I believe, led them to check out all the things that Moses asked them to. And now all of a sudden they were not focused on how good the land is anymore. Now they were more focused on the enemy. Oh my goodness, there are giants in the land. Oh my goodness, there are strong people. Oh my goodness, the walls are high and fortified. There's no way that we can take the land. Why? Because now their focus was not on the goodness of the land anymore. Now their focus was on the opposing enemy. And that's why they came to a point where they said, I don't think we can do it. There's no way that we can take the land. And in the natural, they were probably right. There was no way that they could take the land. But with God in the picture, the impossible is possible. But because they were so focused on the other things, they could not see how God could give them the land. So my suggestion for our lives is, keep it simple. Let your yes be a yes. Yeah. Let your no be a no. Yeah. Call good what God calls good. Yeah. Call evil what God calls evil. Yeah. Stay away from compromise. Stay away from lying. Stay away from cheating. Stay away from things that are not good. Keep it simple. Yeah. No need to think about, oh, how much can I do before it becomes wrong? Ever been there? I tell that my young people all of the time in youth. Very often we have the attitude, I know I cannot do this, I cannot do that, but how close can I get to what I'm not supposed to do before it becomes wrong? How much can I say to my friends before it becomes gossip? How far can I go before it becomes wrong? Instead of just stay away from it. Keep it simple. Keep it as simple as possible. Call good what God calls good. Call evil what God calls evil, no matter what society tells us. No matter what culture tells us, if God says it's not good, it means it's not good. Yeah. Keep it simple. Don't try to justify something that we know in the Word of God is clearly described as being wrong. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. And I believe if we keep it simple, we are forming an environment that will set us up for success. Because then all of a sudden we don't have to think about, oh, can I do this or can I not do it? Keep it simple. What does the Bible say? And most of the time we already know in our heart what is the right thing to do. So set your environment, set it up in a way that you can succeed. Give you an example. This morning, Joanna and I, we went for a run, jogging. So in order for me to actually go through with it, I put my alarm on my wristwatch, so that when the next morning come, the alarm will wake me up. Now we go together, so I know that she will set the alarm. That is actually her responsibility. Her is the alarm, then she wake up, and then she will wake me up, and then we can go. But if I want to form my environment for success, I say, you know what, I'm going to put my alarm as well, so that when my alarm goes off, it will shake my hand, and I will wake up, and then no point of going back to sleep. I also put my shorts that I'm going to wear to run behind the door. I hang it up so that I already know my shorts, even my shirt, is right behind the door. So I know exactly where it is when it's still dark, the kids are still sleeping. I can go, I can change, and I will set myself up for success. So I take the necessary steps so that in the morning when I'm tired, I don't make an excuse, I didn't sleep well, maybe not today. I didn't have a good night's rest, so I don't want to go today. No, I set everything up already so that it becomes easier for me. In our life, keep it easy. Make sure that you control your environment if you can, so that you will set yourself up for success. So keep it simple. What does the Bible say? What should we do? What should we not be doing? Make it as simple as that, and very often that will keep us out of situations where it could get us into trouble. Keep it simple. Make a decision based on what the Bible tells us. Yes. Amen. Yes. Point number two, decide what you listen to. Decide what you listen to. Numbers 13, verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land. We can certainly do it." We can certainly do it. So now the people of Israel, like I said before, had to make a decision. There are two opposing views. One, we can take the land. One, we cannot take the land. One says, let's go into it and take possession. The other says, let's go back to Egypt. And they had to make a decision what they're going to listen to. Who are we going to pay more attention to? Which is the one that we will let into our hearts and either way encourage us to pursue the promise of God or let us pursue to go back to where we came from? They had to make a decision what they would listen to. And they had to decide, and they decided to listen to the negative voice around them. Now, I wish they would have decided to go in. They could have saved 40 years of going through the desert. 40 years wasted because they did not go in. They could have saved so much time, a whole generation. A whole generation passed on and never went into the promised land. But they had to decide, what are we going to listen to? And we have to make a similar decision in our life. What are we listening to? Are we listening to the negative voices around us? The voices that said it cannot be done. The voice that said you are not good enough. The voice that said, what are you going to church? There's no hope for you. The voices that says, you know what, you are too far from God already. Are you listening to those voices, or are you listening to the voice of God, who invites you to come in, who welcomes you into His presence? What are we listening to? Just like they had to decide, we have to decide. What do you fill your mind with? Things that will push you closer to God, or things that inadvertently, maybe even subconsciously, pull you more and more away from God? We have to make a decision to not let the negativity and the negative voices around us pull us away from God. You know what? I remember growing up in Germany. Now it's like story time with Pastor Stefan. I remember growing up in Germany. I switched school and saw the old school that I was. It was a vocational school. It was more training the students to become a worker in a profession. And then I switched school that would prepare you to go to university. So now, of course, that is very different. One is more practical oriented. The other one is very theoretical. So when I switched schools, all of a sudden my English was not up to par with everybody else in the school. So I would go to school. We would go to homework. Mr. Hajduk, Herr Hajduk, my English teacher, would give us homework. I would go home. I would try to do the homework, but my grammar was completely off. So I would try to do the homework, but I knew it's not going to be good. I would go back to school, and he would always come to my table and take my homework. And then he would read my answer to the whole class. And then he would laugh and laugh, and oh, he thought it was so funny because the answer I gave was completely wrong. I mean, it was the right idea, but grammar was completely off. And then he would ask the students to correct my wrong answer to a correct answer. And he thought it was so funny. And of course, like you can tell, it's still a little bit hurting inside. But here I am, Mr. Hajduk, in Malaysia, preaching in English, or maybe Menglish, Malaysian English. Amen. And when I told him that I planned to go to America to Bible school, he was just laughing at me. He thought it was the funniest thing that I said, I'm going to go to America. Oh, you in America. No way. But I did go. Even so many people from the church said, why are you going to Bible school to America if we have good Bible schools right here in Germany? I said, I don't know. I just feel that God called me to go there. Now I know why. Because Joanna was there. So now in hindsight, I see why. But the thing is, I had to decide not to listen to the negative voice around me. Where he said, oh, it's no way that you can do it. No way that you could go and actually be successful in English. But I did. Sometimes we have to decide to not listen, not to pay attention to the negative voices. Yeah. What are we listening to? Is it building our faith? Or is it filling us with fear? Is it drawing us closer to God? Or is it drawing us away from God? Number three, very quickly, confess what is good. How can we make sure we are coming closer and closer to God? Confess what is good. Numbers 14, verse 6 and 9. It's quite a bigger scripture up there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, who were among those who were exploring the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Now this is what Caleb and Joshua confessed. Now their conviction in their heart is, anything is possible with God. Yeah. Their conviction, a firmly held belief, a firmly held opinion in their heart. With God, anything is possible. That's why their confession was, we can take the land. We will devour the enemy, not the other way around. We will go in and we will take the land because God has given it to us. Yes. Their confession was completely opposite of the other 10 because their conviction was different. So we have to make sure that we have a conviction in our heart that God is good, that he has a plan, that he is in control, that no matter what might happen, he is still sitting on the throne. And then our confession has to back it up. That will influence what we are saying over our life. Speak life into your children. Speak life into your marriages. Speak life over the relationships that you have. Speak life over the career that you have. Speak life into things that are not looking so good right now. Your confession will determine the direction that you will go in life. We have to confess what is good. And I believe that can make all the difference. As the praise team come, I'm going to finish up with this little story. I told you before that I was playing handball when I was in high school. And I was playing in a division. We had about 20 teams. And out of the 40 games that we would play, 38 we would lose. We were bad. I mean, beyond bad. We were the weakest team, except one other team that was even worse than us. But we were pretty much always the bottom of the table. And the coach always said, you have to play with heart, you have to play with passion, and you have to give it your all, and you cannot give up. You have to play with everything that you got. But all of a sudden, he started to change the way that he would talk to us. And he would say, how would you feel if you would win the game tomorrow? And we say, it's not possible. Tomorrow is a strong team some more. We can only beat one team. No way that we can win. But he said, how would you feel if you would win? How would you play the game if you already knew that you would win tomorrow? We said, then we would go in. We would have fun playing because we know we would win. He said, go with that kind of attitude. Now, fast forward, the next year, the next season, from the second last, we became one of the top three teams. Now, I would like to tell you that it was all because the coach started to talk differently. Reality was, all the other teams had 17-year-old players. And the youth division goes from 12 years to 17. Once you turn 18, you have to play in the adult division. So a lot of the strong players that we were always playing against, they got too old. So the next season, it was more of a level playing field. But I do believe that that changed the way that we played. Because all of a sudden we went in with the attitude, what if I can win? What if I try something new and it actually works out? So the way that we approached the game was very different. And all of a sudden, instead of going in saying like, we're going to lose again, it's like, hey, what if we would win? What if we can actually take a win home? And that changed the way that we played. It was more fun. And I believe that is what in the end brought the success. Amen. Come on, let's rise to our feet this morning.